Welcome to the Femi Pod. These conversations are for women runners that go beyond running. Brought to you by your Femi founders, Lydia O'Donnell and Esther Kewen. Welcome back to the Femi Pod. This is episode 132, and it is good to be back, of course, with my bestie, Esty. We've got plenty to chat about today, but before we get into things, Est, how are you?
Pretty good, thank you, Dals. Just chugging along. Do you want me to dive into my life over the last week, or do you just want a general how are you?
Give me an update of the week, what's been going on.
Okay, cool. I don't want to be one of those people that's like, someone's like, you know, how are you? And then they go into their life story without being prompted. So just making sure that's what we're after here. No, I've been all good. You know, I've been struggling with a bit of pain, as Lids already knows all this. My training's been a bit interrupted. I have been working with like a naturopath and stuff, and then trying to get my gut real happy and work on my health and stuff. I feel like it's just been impacted by like the last few years of like stress, and I've had long COVID and all these things that will impact your body. So yeah, just been trying to get on top of that and work with someone. And then I got my period like 2 weeks ago, and like it was a different type of pain, like stabbing pain kind of thing. Like normally when I get cramps, it's kind of like a crampy feeling where it's like, I don't know, it's different to what I was experiencing. And I was like, gosh, this is very painful. What's going on here? Maybe like my body's detoxing all these things from like the naturopath, and like this is part of the process kind of thing. Anyway, that went on for like 7 days, and like to the point where I had to take some like hefty painkillers, and I hate taking that sort of thing. Had to have some days off work, was like not good. Went to the doctor, all these things. It's been impacting my running, because like when I run it was really sore, and like yeah, I just like, it doesn't make you feel excited to go for a run when your lower abdomen feels like it's going to fall out of your body. And so yeah, I was just like dealing with that for a while. It went away for a little bit and then came back, and I was like, okay, maybe it's cycle related because I'm ovulating soon, like it's my something to do with my cycle. And then anyway, got to a point where I was like, what is this? Like it could be a UTI maybe, because I've had one before, but it felt different. So I initially thought, no, it's not that. So I went to the nurse yesterday, and anyway, she basically thinks it was a UTI, and I've been dealing with it for like 2 weeks, and my body was trying to fight it off. And then so she gave me antibiotics yesterday, and like I don't want to get my hopes up that it's going to go away, because it has been like absolutely screwing with me for 2 weeks, and like if it doesn't go away, I'll be gutted. But like it is better than it has been after taking two pills, you know. So I'm pretty excited that's going to be gone, and I can hopefully focus on, you know, my training again. Like it didn't drop too much, and like I was like quite hard headed. I was like, I've taken a day off. Like this is, I'm running tomorrow, and then I'd like run and it would hurt, and I'd be like, ow. And then, you know, so I kept my training relatively okay, but like even biking was like real sore, like the pressure on my lower abdomen and stuff. So anyway, I feel happy. I feel excited. Today is the first day that I've had like minimal pain in like 2 weeks, and yeah, feeling hopeful. I've got 3 weeks till the half now, so 3 weeks to go. I did a pretty decent long run on Saturday last week. So we had a bit of a back and forth about treadmill running the other week, and Lids was, you know, saying how hard she finds it because it's boring compared to being outside. And I was sort of explaining how either way it's kind of going to hurt and stuff. And then I just had this weird idea that I should do my long run on the treadmill because it was really bad weather, and it was just like, I haven't been able to run that many hills in Raglan because of my Achilles. So I run very similar route over and over again, like the only flat parts of Raglan, and it's absolutely like getting to me, mind numbing. But yeah, so I was like, well, I'll just run on the treadmill, and then every kilometer I'll get faster. So I started at like 5:30s, and then I was going 5 seconds faster every kilometer, and I did 21.1 case. And yeah, because I wanted to just tick off a half marathon, get me confidence up for my race in a couple of weeks and just like, yeah, get into it. My stomach hurt pretty badly on the triple, but I was so determined. I was just like, no, I'm going to do it. And I was really mentally prepared that it was going to like, I was going to be there for a while. So I was like locked in. And so, yeah, that was fun. Yeah, I feel like my training's been a bit up and down. Like yesterday I went for a jog and I just ran so slow. Like I was just like, I don't even care what I run because my tummy hurt and like I hadn't been sleeping that well and stuff. So yeah, just been trying to like be really kind to myself, taking a few extra days off, like shortening my runs and stuff. But yeah, feeling hopeful that that is now in the past and I can build up again for a couple of weeks and then taper off towards the race. So yeah, sorry, that was like a lot to dump on everyone, but no, I'm feeling good and it's hard to balance like health stuff with also trying to stay consistent but listen to your body, you know, like it's, yeah, it was a bit of a rough couple of weeks, but we're getting there.
You always have to, and we have these conversations regularly, like put your health first, because you can only train through so much, and if you don't get on top of your health, whether it's like an illness or a sickness or an injury, it's only going to drag on for longer and it's only going to take up more time to get right and sacrifice more training. So it's like you might as well take the time to get right sooner rather than later, and the time that like your sickness, illness or injury deserves, and then get back into training when you're better. So I feel like you've done well, but I do want to acknowledge that maybe it was the treadmill that made you sick. Just saying.
Probably. No, because that was like day 10 of my cycle, Dals, and yeah, it's okay. On day one. So
well, I feel like 21Ks on a treadmill wouldn't make anybody sick. So you're just very mentally tough. I don't know if I could do that, but good for you.
I feel like sometimes I'm more mentally tough on the treadmill than I am outside. Maybe it's like a preparation thing because I'm like, yeah, I'm going to be on this bitch for so long. So, yeah, I don't know.
It's nice because it's predictable. You know how it's going to go. You know that it's either going to be like, if you keep the treadmill on, like, I don't know, is it 0.5? Or, you know, you don't have to worry about like massive hills coming up or like some really sharp corners or having to cross busy roads and stuff. Like, you know what's to come, but still, in some ways, that's really incredibly boring.
Yeah, I don't think I'll be doing it. I don't think I'll be doing that again soon. I will do my speed runs sometimes on there, but yeah, that was just a one-off. I didn't really feel like going outside and there was like hectic wind and stuff. And I was like, you know, I'll just do that and get it done. So anyway, yeah, we'll put that one to bed and say bye-bye for the long runs on the treadmill. Yeah, that's it from me. How you been, Liz? What you been up to? How's training going?
Yeah, I've been pretty good actually over the last couple of weeks. Training has gone really well. I feel like I came back from my overseas trip and then I was pretty like determined to just get back into the swing of things. I had a good like down week at the end of my trip overseas and that was just a nice time to let the body relax and the mind have a bit of a break from training. And then since I've been back in Aussie now for a couple of weeks, I've like been able to commit quite heavily to training with Sydney Marathon now like 6.5 weeks away, which is crazy and scary, but I feel like I'm doing the work. So last week I was able to run the biggest week of training I've actually done in like over a year. I can't remember when I last ran over 140Ks in 1 week, which is crazy because I think throughout my 20s, I would say my average mileage for a week would have been around like 130 to 140, maybe even more. And last week I did one, I think it was like 145 or something, and I was like, oh my God, so much running. I actually don't know how I used to do this all the time, but I also, I mean, at some points I did have a full-time job. But yeah, it's been nice. I think I've spoken about this a bit on the podcast in the past, like my body just loves mileage. I'm definitely one of those athletes who thrive on more Ks. And I do think that comes down to just like running since I was a little kid and just really building up my capacity and my conditioning to manage that amount of work. And when I run less than like 100 Ks, I feel like my body is more sore than when I'm running like 140 Ks. So I actually right now feel pretty good. I have been doing some pretty big speed sessions. Last week I did, I think it was 9 by a K. And this week I did a 10K tempo just yesterday, which felt really good. And the weekend I had a long run, and James actually wanted to, my husband wanted to go and break 20 minutes for the 5K. And so I said to him, I'll do that with you as part of my long run. So I did like 13Ks beforehand to like warm up, just comfortable. And then I met him at the track and we did a 20 minute 5K. It was actually sub, it was like 19:30 something. And then go James. And then I did a couple of shorter, faster. Oh, I did one like 3K effort, a bit faster, which was more like around marathon pace for me. And then I did like a 10 or 11K steady run at the end. So it ended up being like 33, I think, Ks. And it felt really good. I definitely was cooked by the end of it, but I think that was more because it was hot and like in the sun, and I was just in the sun for like 3 hours, and that wasn't that nice. But the legs feel good, and I'm just like really proud that I can pull up from these sessions now a lot better than I was a few months ago, when I was probably under a lot more mental stress and quite fatigued, and trying to go back to back in runs and sessions can be so hard when your like mind and your body just aren't there. And so I feel like I've had some time to like breathe and process things and just like kind of keep moving with my life, and it's just, yeah, I do feel a lot stronger for it. So I'm excited for what's to come. I'm also quite terrified over the next few weeks. I have a lot of travel alongside a lot of running, so I am trying to be really organized and like plan everything ahead. For example, I know in a couple of days I have to go to Melbourne, and I've got a couple of events on Friday and Saturday, and that's going to disrupt my training a bit. So just trying to get my like longer runs and mileage in on the days where I know I can not only do it, but then also recover from it, and then take the days where I have other like work events and other stressors happening, take those as like my easy run days. So I think being organized and planning ahead is just so helpful, particularly when you're in a marathon or any training block where you're like really focused on your running. It can be quite stressful when things get disrupted, so you just have to be organized, and also just accept that things might not go to plan, and that's okay. And you, like, it's not going to be the end of the world if you don't get in one of your key runs. Like, it's fine. So we'll see how the next few weeks play out. I am excited for Sydney, but I'm also trying not to think about it too much, because I just want to stay focused on the training and like take the days as they come, versus being like, oh, like 6 weeks to Sydney Marathon, 5 weeks to Sydney Marathon. I just don't want to get too consumed by that. I just want to like do the work, and I love the work. So yeah, there's plenty more of that to come.
That's so exciting. I'm so excited for you. Yeah, I mean, you're obviously fit right now, and you have been training well, and you're already running a 33K long run. Like, you're not far off being ready for a marathon already, which is pretty cool. So whether you are on the start line or not, I'm excited for you either way, because all of this will be banking towards whatever is next for you. So yeah, I'm excited for you, and go James. Sub 20 minutes is fast. What a weapon.
No, he is a weapon. He's like an undercover weapon. You know, you wouldn't think that he would be able to run that. And then, I mean, I always knew he could, but it's not like he definitely wouldn't consider himself like a runner. That's in quotation marks. But he runs quite a bit. And I mean, to run a sub 25K is pretty insane. So it's just funny, because I was obviously pacing him, and we have like such a funny dynamic where we're just like so honest with each other, and I love that for us. And at like 1.2Ks to go, he was like sitting right behind me, and he's just like, I can't do it, babe. I can't, I'm gonna stop. And I just turned around and I was like, pain is momentary, you can do this, don't freaking stop. Like, I was so angry, you know, because I would have been so mad if he pulled it out, because I knew he could do it. And I think he was like, oh shit, okay, I better keep going. But it's like the conditioning of the mind and training of your mind to like push through that pain is something else, you know. Like, he is he's tough as nails, like he's mentally strong, but doing that in a run or a time trial, it's just a whole different level of like resilience. And I knew he had it, and I'm glad he did it, because now he's proved to himself that he can do it. But yeah, it's pretty funny pacing your husband.
I love that. Yeah. So lucky he had you as a drill sergeant that day, being like, you can freaking do this. Like, yeah, it's so 5K is definitely a whole nother level of pain because it's pretty fast from the start. And yeah, it can feel very overwhelming when you're that deep in, 3.8 Ks and you think only 1.2 Ks to go, but like that's still like a basically a quarter of the run, which is rough when you're already cooked. But so good that he got it, and he smashed it too. Like not even sub 20, like he was 20 over 20 seconds under. So, yeah, congrats and good job, you pacer slash motivator.
Thank you. Thank you. I think he loves having me as his coach. I am pretty honest with him. I am leaving the Sunshine Coast today, and I said to him, you better keep up your running, like, because he's run so much with me while I've been here over the last week. And I was like, just because I'm leaving doesn't mean you can stop running. You better keep going because I don't want him to lose his fitness. But yes, anyway, we put out a question box to you, our community, to ask you about topics that you would like us to cover off in the podcast. We've now been doing this podcast for like 3 years or something. And so I feel like we've covered heaps, but it's really nice to hear from you in terms of what you want to hear from us and what we can help with your training or your running or just like general day-to-day stuff. I feel like we talk a lot about running, but we're also interested in talking about other things that go beyond running too. But this topic is definitely one that came up a lot. So firstly, thank you to everybody who popped questions to us or topics and themes to cover. We are going to work through those over the next wee while because some of them are really good and super interesting. So thank you. But today we're going to chat about fueling. It's definitely a topic we get asked about a lot, and understandably, it's such a big part of running. And we had heaps of questions about fueling come through. So I've kind of condensed them down into like talking through our fueling tactics from pre-run, during our runs, and then post-run. That might sound kind of boring, but we can definitely get into the nitty-gritty of what works for us. Before we do that, I want to acknowledge that we are not nutritionists or dietitians. We have an incredible dietitian on the team, Sarah Woodison, who has done plenty of podcasts with us in the past. So we'll link some of those into the show notes if you want to hear from Sarah. This is very much our own experience as individual athletes and what works for us personally. So take what you will from this. But yeah, we'll get kind of into things. So, yes, let's start with pre-run. One of the kind of questions that came through was around like what foods should we avoid before going on a run, particularly to prevent us needing to like stop and go to the bathroom often in a run. Before we get into that, going to the toilet during a run happens to me nearly every run. Like, yeah, needing to stop and go to the toilet is completely fine. So it's normal, I believe, to stop and use the bathroom when you're on a run. But there are definitely some foods that I would not go near if I was going out on a run in the morning, particularly in the morning. But yes, do you want to go through yours first and then I can kind of add to it?
Yeah, for sure. I think just avoiding like really dense, like high fiber food, like if you were going to get like a really nutty muesli or something, seedy, nutty muesli, like that would be a no-go for me. Like I'd probably just get bloated and yeah, have to stop to the toilet to go to the toilet more than, normal. To be fair, I don't actually really go to the bathroom often when I'm running. I tend to go like before. But that's just me. Everyone's different, and like sometimes running is the thing that brings it on, and that's great. Like if you need to go poop a couple of times on your run, and you know that's great, you're doing it and that's important. But for me, I don't really experience that too much. But yeah, I think avoiding things like that, for me personally, because at the moment working with a naturopath, I'm not having gluten or dairy. So I just have gluten-free bread. Shout out to my friend Lucy. She does Lucy's gluten-free bread, absolutely delicious bread. Highly recommend. So I normally have like one or two pieces of that. I'll have one if I'm going for like an easy jog and like I feel like that's enough. I quite often have Marmite and avocado on it, which is freaking delicious. 10 out of 10 recommend. But if we've run out of avocado, I might have like peanut butter honey or like honey and banana, just something like easy to get down. If I'm going for a long run or a speed run, I'll have two pieces. And then I always have, tend to always have coffee before speed runs and long runs at least. Sometimes at easy run, I might have it after instead. It's like a little treaty after. But yeah, no, I think that's generally me, like gluten-free bread with something easy to get down. And this would be like probably about an hour before, anywhere from 30 or 40 minutes to an hour before the run. The other thing, if I've run out of bread, which does happen sometimes, I will have oats. So oats are generally close to gluten-free. That's what my naturopath said. So I trust her. So I have some oats with like some honey and banana. Keep it pretty simple, nothing too dense, and not like a huge bowl of it either, like something that's going to go down easy. And yeah, depending on how hydrated I have been the day before, so if I've been really good with my hydration the day before, I'll probably just have like a couple of glasses of water as well, like when I wake up initially, and then maybe a little bit before I go. But if I haven't been as good, which sometimes is the case, I might have electrolytes as well if I'm going for a speed or a long run. Just have a glass of electrolytes. But yeah, I mean, I've been doing it for years, and like I feel like my gut can handle quite a lot of food slash drinks before. Yeah, I do need to be careful with how much fluid I take on as well as the food, because I can get a bit burpy if I have too much liquid before the run as well. So just getting that balance right and giving my body enough time. But that's how I do it before like runs. Obviously, race day is a bit different. But yeah, what about you, Liz? What's your go-tos?
Yeah, super similar. I feel like I would stay pretty far away from anything that's high in fiber, any like fruits, nuts, I definitely wouldn't have before a run. I see people having, yeah, muesli bars, like nutty muesli bars before running, and I'm like, no, I don't think that would sit too well in my stomach. And I tend to stay away from like anything that's dairy, like yogurts or anything before a run as well. I don't eat or drink a lot of dairy, but I will every now and then, but I just wouldn't do that to my gut before a run. I think it's too risky. I am someone who goes to the bathroom. It's funny you're talking about you not needing to go to the toilet, but running definitely shakes things up for me. And when I was overseas, and you know, when you're in a new city and you don't know where public toilets are, particularly when you're in a city like Mexico, it can be a bit risky going out for a run and not knowing where you can stop to go to the bathroom. So in Mexico City, I was doing this like 2K loop around the block before I'd go out on my run because I knew that I'd need to go to the toilet after 2K. So I'd like do this 2K block run, go back to the hotel, do what I need to do there, and then go for my run, which is like pretty funny. But it worked. But yeah, I think for me, I have similar like toast, a couple of pieces of toast. Sometimes I'll have crumpets. I love crumpets. So crumpets with like nut butter and jam, I feel is like a really good pre-run meal. And I don't love bananas. I actually really hate the taste of a banana. But if I am racing or doing a big run or a big session, I will maybe add a banana on top of that as well. But I'm very much like I need caffeine before any run, even if it's like a half an hour easy jog. I need to have a coffee, and I know waking up and having a coffee first thing in the morning is not recommended for your gut or for your cortisol levels. But I feel like I do most things pretty well. I feel like I look after my health in most areas. So, like, if coffee's gonna be my little, you know, one little treat that I can have a day, I'm gonna do that because it gets me out of bed. So I usually will wake up. I've definitely been trying to have a glass of water before I even drink my coffee now, just so like I can hydrate from sleeping and being dehydrated, and then having my coffee and then having my toast. But I know there was a question around timing of eating before the run, and I have been doing this like my whole life. So I've really got it down to quite a like fine line where I will eat, have my coffee, have my toast, and then can be out the door running within like half an hour, which is quite a short time frame. But I also get up early, I run early, and I have to get into work. So it's not like I have a lot of time, but it does seem to be fine for me. But if I was racing, I would definitely give myself more time to like metabolize the food and make sure that everything has been processed and nothing's like sitting too high up. So I would usually leave like 2.5 hours if I was racing. I would probably get up 2.5 hours before the marathon starts, have my meal, and then even 90 minutes before or something, I might have a banana, have my coffee, maybe slightly closer to the race. Yeah, that's kind of what does work for me. If you're someone who wakes up, doesn't feel like eating, and wants to go for a run, I think it's like, firstly, do not run fasted. It's really bad for you. And it's really important that you have got something in your system, particularly for women. It's really important. So it's important that you learn how to make that work for you. So you might just have to give yourself more time in the morning, even if it's waking up and having some food and then even going back to bed for half an hour and then getting up and going for the run. Like, that could work, but over time you can train your gut. So giving yourself that time to like learn what works and get your stomach and your gut used to getting food in the morning and then going to the train. But yeah, you really should put in the time to make it work, because you just have to protect your hormones and make sure that you are constantly fueling in and around your training. And I think, I mean, we've talked about this a lot, and I feel like we could do a whole podcast just on this topic, but like, changing your relationship with food is massive as well and can actually help you to make better decisions around when and what to eat. And for me, when I was like in a state of like severe body image issues and disordered eating, you know, I was trying to eliminate as much food as possible. And so I was just like finding all these tactics and ways of how not to eat around training or after training. Whereas now I'm the complete opposite, because I know I want to make the most of my run. And in order to do that, I need to be fueled both pre, during and post. So yeah, it's important to kind of acknowledge where you're at in your relationship with your food, and then try and work on, if you do have a, or not have a great relationship, work on that relationship, because ultimately you want to feel good, but you also want to be making progress in your running too, which you can really only do when you use fuel or food the best way possible.
So true. And like, there's a lot of evidence out there and research into the fact that fueled while running as well, so like before, during, means that you're going to recover way faster than someone that doesn't. So if your goal is to become a better runner and you think cutting fuel out is the way to do that, you're actually hindering yourself, because you recover a lot faster when you're fueled from start to finish of that run. So just think about that if you're struggling a bit, and like, think of the benefits you'll gain. But then in terms of the race day stuff, what you said, Lids, I'm exactly the same. About 2.5 hours, might have a banana like 90 minutes before as well. But then, and I know you do this sometimes too, Lids, learned this over in Sydney when I lived there, like having a gel, even with like a small amount of caffeine, if you're one of those, if you can handle caffeine, like those 30 milligram kind of caffeine within the gel, have that like 10 minutes before the start of the race. I do think that helps a lot, because you need to give your body more time. Because you're nervous, so your digestion's going to slow down because you've got all those nerves and your body's trying to deal with that, versus like going out for a long run, you're probably not going to be that nervous. You're going to just wake up and be like, okay, I'm going for my run. Whereas when you're racing, you need to give your body more time. So that's kind of, yeah, why we do that, Ailid. We know that it's going to take longer to digest than normal.
Definitely. And not just for food, but give yourself more time for everything pre-race, because everything takes longer than you'd expect. And also, when you are nervous, your nerves are linked to your gut and your bowels. And so before a race, I'll probably poop like 5 times because I'm nervous. So you also need to leave time for that too. Sorry, there's a lot of poo chat today, but I guess food and running is all linked to pooing. So
totally.
But just talking about gels, so kind of going into the next stage of fueling during a run or a race, what would you do? Yes, I know maybe you're not getting up to those like hectic marathon distances and training or anything, but for you, even on like a 20k run, would you take on any energy?
Yeah, definitely. Anything over like an hour 20, I would probably take a gel. Even a 90 minute run, I take it at about like 50 minute mark. And that's just because, learned from Sarah, our amazing dietitian, that your body can have about 60 minutes of fuel, and then it starts to kind of like, your body needs more. So you need more in the blood. So then That's why I would take a gel even for a 90-minute run. If I'm running up to 2 hours, I'll take two gels now. I used to only take one. So I'll take one at like 45 minutes, one at like an hour and a half. Try to have water with it. But yeah, in a half marathon race, I definitely have a gel again, probably about the 45-minute mark. And yeah, anything really over like that 80-minute mark, I will fuel. But like for a speed run and stuff, for me, they're not really anything over 70 minutes kind of thing. And like the speed session itself was like 30 to 40 minutes of that run maximum. So like I don't feel for that. I know for you lads with like marathon training, it'd probably be different. So yeah, what do you do with like those big longer? I can't even imagine how long you're out there. Well, I do because I see it. But like, what do you do during those sort of runs?
Yeah, I'm definitely taking on energy in my long runs. So usually in a long run, I will take on a gel probably every like, I mean, to start with, like when I'm like 15 or 16 weeks out from the marathon block, it might be like one gel in a 2 hour run. And then as I get closer, I'm like obviously needing more energy because I'm running for longer, but I also want to train my stomach to take on that energy in shorter periods of time. So for the race, I tend to take on a gel every 6Ks ish is the goal in a marathon. They say every 6Ks or half an hour, whatever kind of comes first is when you should be taking on gels. And for me, it is every 6Ks. So that's quite a few gels you have to carry in the marathon. So you're also like training to carry those gels on training runs as well. So there's a lot to be said around like actually fueling in your long runs in your training, because you've got to kind of get used to managing them, taking them while you're running, taking them with water. Like there's a lot going on. Marathon running is very technical. So I do take gels in training runs, and I kind of bounce between different brands. I feel like I have quite an iron stomach and I can kind of manage most gels and most brands, but I would say my favorite gels are Pure Nutrition. I love a Kiwi home brand. I feel like they are some of the cleaner gels that you can get, and they do taste not terrible. And you can get some really yum flavors. I think the peach one is my favorite, and I also do Morton, which I wouldn't say I love the taste of Morton, but it does seem to work better for me than any other gel. Like it makes me feel better and stronger in the run. So I will take Morton as well. Maybe sometimes in some runs or even races, I bounce between the two, because even just having a different flavor or something different to look forward to in the race is not a nice distraction. And so, yeah, I think by doing that, it helps kind of like take your mind away from the pain of the run. But yeah, that's kind of what I do. Recently, actually on Saturday, I didn't have any gels and I went to the supermarket to get some and they had none. So I actually took on baby food, and the main one I got, I think, was oat, prune, and banana. And I wouldn't say it was yum. It wasn't terrible, but because I'm not a banana fan, every time I taste banana, I'm like, ugh. But it did help me, to be honest. I did feel really good. So I probably would do that more often if the pouches weren't so big and hefty to carry. But I feel like baby food is a good one. If you're someone who's like absolutely cannot stand gels, there's no way I'm taking on a gel, then I would say the next best thing is probably baby food, if it had, particularly if it has oats and banana in it, could be really good. But yeah, I'm definitely not a like, I'm not going to eat a banana or eat a sandwich, which I do see some people doing in the middle of a long run. That's not going to go down well for me. But I mean, if it works for you, you get that fuel queen.
Yeah, I didn't have a gel maybe like 6 weeks ago for a long run. I was going to try to do like 2 hours. So I just took a giant banana and it was sticking out the pocket of my tights the entire run. I was like, this looks so stupid. It was like the yellow head of the banana like curved out of my tights. But I mean,
Imagine where it's hanging out of.
I know. Yeah, you got to be careful there. But yeah, some people like boil potatoes, eh? And like put them in Glad wrap and cut a little hole in it and like squeeze it into their mouth and stuff, like find what works for you. I think Sarah recommends 30 to 60 grams of carbs if it's like, I think from memory, up to 2 hours. And then from there, it gets even more over 2 hours. So, like, it is actually quite a lot because a gel generally has about 30, maybe 25 to 30. So, you think that's two, you should be having two gels. So, that's probably like a potato or like a full banana, you know? So there's quite a lot of carbs you need. So practicing is so important. And that's, yeah, you've got to figure out what works for you and then figure out also how to carry it.
I've also been testing with lollies and just trying lollies, particularly around my speed sessions. And they're obviously easy to carry, they taste yum. But I do worry sometimes that they're going to go down the wrong way. So, lollies for some people work as well. Just test it out, try out what works, and figure out a plan. The only thing I would say before we move on to post running is when you're fueling in a run or a race, making sure you're taking on enough hydration, so water around, particularly if you're taking gels, because gels can sit in your stomach and actually draw liquid out of your gut to process them if you don't have enough liquid in your stomach. So you have to make sure when you take on a gel, you're also drinking water because it's just going to help process the gel more. That's why you might hear or you might have experienced people getting runner's gut, and that's really coming down to your stomach is already inflamed, and then you're putting a gel in there and there's no water or hydration to process it. It's only going to make it more inflamed. So making sure that you're drinking enough water too. Okay, post run. Est, what is your favorite post run meal?
Great question. I probably have a few, which I dabble between. Like protein oats, so add like hemp protein or whatever to oats with berries, berries, banana, honey, peanut butter, all that yum stuff. So either like protein oats, or I quite often feel like I don't want to eat that much, especially after a long run. So like a smoothie with like, yeah, protein, lots of seedy type stuff. Berries and banana and all that jazz, something like nice and easy to get down. But I also love scrambled eggs on toast, with avo, which I know you adore also, Lids. And we've had many scrambled egg dates together post run. But yeah, those are probably my top three go-tos, I would say, on a already angry tummy. Like if you finish a long run and you don't feel like eating, you almost feel a bit sick, because if you've just put your body through quite a lot, like a smoothie is such a great way to get it in, get the energy in. I used to, when I used to eat dairy, I used to have a chocky milk after like every run, and that is meant to be like top tier recovery in terms of like the amount of carbs and protein and fat and stuff. So yeah, for any of you dairy queens out there, like chocky milk is a good option as well. But yeah, those are my three go-tos. What about you, Liz?
Love it. I am particularly, if I come back from a long run, I will have like a protein shake straight away. That's usually just water and protein, which sounds kind of gross, but I have the, my friend Kirsty has a protein company called Made Of, and her protein I personally think is the best. It actually tastes so nice and it's really clean. So I have Made Of protein with water, and if I want to add a bit of milk in there, I will. And then, like a half an hour later, after shower and got into comfies, obviously, I will have, yeah, eggs on toast, like 2 pieces of toast, two, sometimes three eggs, and avocado. And that's like obviously getting the protein in is crucial, particularly after long runs or speed sessions. It's like replacing what you've burnt and making sure that you're giving yourself the best opportunity to recover from those sessions so that you can pull up for your next run. And so I'm like really big on getting the protein in, but also like the carbs and the fats is also crucial. So I just don't think you can go past it. Eggs on toast with avocado is just like so good. And I'm not a chef. I am really not a cook at all, but I do a pretty good scrambled egg. So I pride myself on that. I say to my husband all the time, sorry that I can't cook anything else, but you do get the best scrambled eggs in the world. So it's delicious. So yeah, that's kind of like what I would have immediately after. But I think for me, I'm just right now being in a marathon block and running so many Ks, I'm just constantly eating. And if I'm not eating, I'm figuring out what I'm going to be eating pretty soon, because I just want to be able to pull up from sessions and like turn them around and back them up and keep moving and like run these big miles per week. So the only way I can do that is if I am constantly getting enough fuel in the tank. And this has been such a massive learning curve for me, like over the last 15 years of running, is just figuring out or trying to like understand the need for that amount of fuel and the desire for me to run fast. Like, I'm super driven and I have these big ambitious goals, but knowing that I can't get there without failing myself has really like helped me change that relationship with food. So food is queen. We always say that at Femi. We're like really excited. We're actually doing a few events coming up with the Two Raw Sisters. If you didn't listen to our podcast last week with Rosa Power, you should 100% go back and listen to that. I would say it is probably one of the most important episodes we have recorded to date. Her story is incredibly sad and hard to listen to, but really important for us all to like acknowledge and understand that what she went through is actually still happening today. And her climb back from being in a state of low energy availability, being in a state of anorexia and unwell, to, you know, now being so appreciative of her health and so grateful that she can even run and she's had a baby and her hormones are good and everything. Like, it is pretty inspiring chat. So please, please, if you haven't listened to that one, go back. I'm just telling everyone to listen because it's so important. But yeah, I think that is it from us today. We will link some of those events that we have coming up into the show notes. We've got quite a few actually over the next month or so. So we'll link all the events into the show notes so you can come along and meet us and have a chat with us and learn more and obviously go for a run. And then if you have any questions, you can get at us on Instagram at femi.co. Est, is there anything else you want to add?
Nah, just if Pure Sports is listening, you should sponsor us.
We love that. We love Pure Sports. All right. Thanks, team. We'll chat to you all next week.
Bye.